I really can't
stay. My baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
Baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has been,
I'm hoping that you drop
so
in.
Very nice.
I'll hold your hands there just like I.
My mother will start to worry.
Beautiful, what's your hurry?
And father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to that fireplace roar.
So really I'd better scurry.
Beautiful, please don't hurry.
Maybe just a half a drink more.
Put some records on while I pour.
The neighbors might think.
Baby, it's bad out there.
Say, what's in this
no
drink?
No cash to be had. Out there.
I wish I knew
rising
how
like starlight
to
now.
Break the spell.
I'll take your hat, your hair looks swell.
I ought to say no, no,
mind
no,
if I move in closer?
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
What's the sense of hurting my pride?
I really can't stay.
Baby, don't hold on.
But it's cold outside. I simply must go.
My baby, it's cold outside.
The answer is
my baby,
no.
Baby, it's cold outside.
This welcome has been
lucky you.
So nice and warm.
Look out the window at that storm.
My sister will be suspicious.
Gosh, your lips look delicious.
My brother will be there at the door.
Waves upon tropical shore.
My maiden aunt's mind is vicious.
Oh, your lips look delicious.
Well, maybe just a cigarette.
Never such a blizzard before.
I've got to get home.
Baby, you freeze out there.
Say, lend me your coat.
It's up to your knees out there.
You've really been great.
I'll thrill when you touch my hair.
Don't you see?
How can you do this thing to me?
There's bound to be talk. Tomorrow.
Think of my lifelong sorrow.
At least there will be plenty in flight.
If you caught pneumonia and I
really can't stay.
Get rid of that hold out. How about it's cold
doing? Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, as the case might be. This is Andy Kimball of the Andy and Amanda Show here on Monday, December 14th, live from Hollywood, live from Hawaii, live from the East Coast. Amanda's not with us again today, but we're having some technical issues.
I know.
We're having some technical issues with the foundation, the platform that we use to present this program. It's been very frustrating. As a matter of fact, if you notice, we're coming on 30 minutes past our normal show time when you're listening to us live, that is, because we're having some issues. So given that, we're about ready to scrub the show, and we're going to, for all intents and purposes, we are scrubbing the show. But what we're going to do is this. We're going to play some news clips and talk about some news items, because if we do a show tomorrow, obviously we'll be back on Wednesday, that news will not be current, and we like to provide and pride ourselves in providing as much up-to-date news and information and conversation based on that news and information as we possibly can here on the Amanda and Andy show. Notice I said Amanda and Andy because Amanda's not here, and I miss her. Where's Amanda? Anyway,
yeah, we missed
our number
Amanda.
Here, if you want to get on, you still can, 515-605-9888. We'll talk to you because we have nothing better to do, really. So we will talk to you. But what I wanted to do is address a couple of news items, basically. I'll tell you what they are. The first one is the fact that the vaccine that we've heard so much about is being distributed. As a matter of fact, the first injections were given today in Ohio. to healthcare professionals working in ICUs there. And it's going to be – it came via UPS. And UPS is delivering East Coast. FedEx is delivering West Coast. And we'll be seeing that over the next – you know, I know it sounds like a while, but up to 8 months from now, let's say 8 to 9 months, they estimate that the population will have had the opportunity to vaccinate as a whole. But anyway, it's good to see. And what else we need to talk about that is I'll tell you what the other – issue is, we've heard this expression Operation Warp Speed, like somehow this vaccine suddenly came out of nowhere into fruition in a period of months when it normally takes years. But the truth of the matter is that the vaccine, the technology based on the SARS virus, the SARS cell, the virus that and there's many strains of it. This COVID is not the only strain of this virus that we've been exposed to over the past 17 years, folks. When we were first exposed to it, that's when the work began. So this has been a 17-year process. Yeah. And what I want to play for you now is a clip from an interview with Dr. Peter Hortos, who's the founding director of the Tropical Disease Center at Baylor University, who's going to explain that process and what we've been doing over the past 17 years to show you how this really has been Operation Warp Speed. We put the pedal to the metal, but let's listen to what actually went into the development of the vaccine here on the Coast to Coast Show. Andy and Amanda here. Here's Dr. Peter Hortos.
Just talking about what a miracle the vaccines are, and they are a miracle in one sense, but you know, sometimes people think that these vaccines just popped out of nowhere over a period of 4 months. And one of the things that I've been trying to explain to people, if they think vaccines are rushed, this is not a four-month process. This is a 17-year process. The discovery and development of vaccines for coronaviruses began 17 years ago after SARS emerged in 2003. That was the first big pandemic coronavirus that started out of South China and shut down Toronto, Canada for a while. That's when we identified the spike protein as the soft underbelly of the virus. That's when experimental vaccines first developed. So that when the Chinese put up the sequence of COVID-19 on BioArchive in January, the coronavirus community, the community of coronavirus vaccine researchers looked at this and said, oh, we got this. So we know how to make a COVID-19 vaccine. And then it was a matter of which technology could go the first, could be the fastest, and which technology would be the most enduring. And so all of the vaccines that you're hearing about, whether it's AstraZeneca or Pfizer or Moderna or J&J or ours, which is being scaled in India, all target that spike protein. And that's important that people realize that this was not rushed. This was a deliberate long-term program. So it's really exciting to see this vaccine go into Maggie's arm. And after we saw SARS in 2003, then there was Middle Eastern respiratory in 2012, we said, well, hang on, there's a new coronavirus coming every decade. We knew there was another one coming. And again, this is the power of the National Institutes of Health and National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, headed by Tony Fauci, Francis Collins heading NIH. They launched a major program for coronaviruses starting in 2003. We were the beneficiaries of that. We got funded to develop some of the first prototype vaccines. So this all was very deliberate by the U.S. government and the NIH to really move this forward. Again, this is why, you know, we're very blessed to have the NIH here in the United States and funding that research. And we still have a long ways to go because we're going to have to see how this vaccine rolls out in terms of being able to scale it up, how robust the production process will be. This is a brand new technology. And that's the reason why we're bringing on other vaccines on top of it, the adenovirus vaccines. We're going to need at least four or five different vaccines to vaccinate the U.S. population. We will not do this with just the two mRNA vaccines.
So yeah, let's you know, call that what it is, and you know, Trump has previously called that his vaccine, you know, the Trump vaccine. This is not the Trump vaccine. So I just wanted to be clear and have our listeners be clear on the tremendous amount of research and the tremendous amount of expertise, both in chemistry and medicine and biology, that goes into you know, prolonging the human career. Really, is what it amounts to. So. ongoingly, on an ongoing basis. We're going to run this ad. We'll be right back.
That's important information.
Donald Trump's desperate campaign is in trouble, and they want to manipulate this election to save the president. Close polling places, ignore military votes, throw out mail-in ballots, and intimidate voters.
I am urging them to do it.
Trump and his loyalists are fine cheating. They don't care if it's illegal. And they believe there will be no consequences. We can't let thugs steal Georgia's voice in this election.
And Militia Watch says Georgia could possibly see violence around Election Day.
We can't let them take away our vote. And to the Republicans in Georgia, listen closely. If you help Trump's losing campaign cheat to win, you will be caught.
It's going to bring us together in a victory because they're just going to finally say, let's just give up.
Elections have consequences. Your decisions will too. Georgia is watching. The Lincoln Project is responsible for the content of this advertising.
All eyes are on Georgia. All eyes are on Georgia. So we'll,
I think, poor Lincoln Project, boy. They're
really
funny guys. They're just, they're
very conservative
Republicans who Trump shut out.
Very, very conservative, established, well-respected Republicans, respected by Republicans aside from Trump. You know, I was commenting earlier on somebody's well, you mentioned their name. They're so fanatical and out there, lunatic, on Facebook that, you know, I mean, there's been – I mean, we're – you know, ready for the tally? The tally is this. We're 59 cases out of 60 that were tossed out or dismissed by every court in the land, every level of judicial system in the land, from the Supreme Court on down to local courts to state courts to federal courts in various – in Pennsylvania and Michigan and Arizona. This thing's been tossed out 59 times. 59 times by many of the judges were Trump's appointees.
So man, that's a broken record. That's a record right there.
This whole thing. It is.
They could look on the bright side. They're one for 50, one for 60.
Yeah. And Chet, you said, remember you said on Friday what that one was that they won? It was in Pennsylvania about moving closer. Remember you mentioned that on Friday?
Yeah, that was Pennsylvania getting a few feet closer. And as someone said, you know, even after we did that, this is the Republican talking. Even after we did that, we still couldn't read what was going on.
Jeez. And do you know in Arizona today, guys?
8 feet away.
Arizona. In Arizona, the Electoral College electors from the state of Arizona had to meet in an undisclosed location because of death threats to them. And the same applied to Michigan. They were – one of the electors actually – wore a bulletproof vest because of death threats. Unbelievable.
Arizona is an open carry state.
Yes. Unbelievable.
Can't remember
Yes, I'm right here.
Okay.
Driving up to Office Max in this little tiny tiny guy gets out of this giant truck with a 9mm on his hip, and I went, "What's going to happen to you at Office Max that you got to carry that piece in there?" Mm. Strange bunch.
Yeah, and you know, in Michigan, there's been, you know, they tried. There was death threats. There was bomb scares on the Capitol. It was, mm-hmm. you know, they're threatening to shoot the electors. I mean, this is America. I don't remember this being America. I don't. This just does not sound like who we are.
It's just a new world.
Yeah. Here's Chris Christie. We know Chris Christie, the former governor of New Jersey, commentator on Sunday news programs. He also trained Trump for the debate presence that Trump made. And here's what he had to say. You know, a Trump loyalist.
Legal theory put forward by his legal team and by the president is an absurdity. And the reason why the Supreme Court didn't take it is because it's an absurd idea to think that any state or any number of states, no matter how good they are, can challenge another state's right to run the election as they see fit. And also, there's no evidence, as I've been saying since election night, show us the evidence. The reason the Supreme Court is not taking this is not because of a lack of courage. It's for the same reason that every court has thrown this out. It's a lack of evidence.
Yeah. And this is a guy who supported Trump, who helped train Trump for the debates, who's been like the Republican guy on some of the more liberal-leaning Sunday talk shows and so forth. And again, Republican judges, Republican, you know, governors, and Congress people, even though a bunch of – do you think the fact that both 116 or 126 Republicans signed on to support the Texas Supreme Court lawsuit which was to overturn millions of votes? The lawsuit that went to the Supreme Court was Texas is suing other states because they interfered with Texas's choice of who they wanted to be president.
It was more like they violated the civil rights of voters in Texas.
Yes. Yes.
Because
yes.
The outcome wasn't what voters in Texas wanted.
Right.
Oh, shoot. I have something in my brain.
This has got to be a movie. Is this real?
Hey, Andy.
I can't wait until we see, you know, George Clooney and a bunch of people do the Netflix version of
I'm waiting for that. What was that? What was that, Cornell? Yeah.
This Terminator 6, the movie, the new movie.
Yeah.
What's going on right now?
We'll be back. Oh, that's what I'm looking. Yes, yeah, I'm waiting for. I'm waiting.
Well, he will be back in 2024,
We'll see. I don't know if he will or not. I'm not totally convinced that he will be, even though there's talk. But I personally am not totally. I don't even know if I'm halfway there, but I know there's a chance that he will. But when it comes right down to it, and how the GOP
worse.
Is going to have to, let's turn our attention to Michigan because there's been a lot going on there with threats of violence to various, it was a kidnapping plot to the governor. We're going to hear from Dana Nessel, who's the attorney general for the state of Michigan, regarding what's been going on there, regarding the electors' meeting and
it's been nonstop these frivolous lawsuits that we've had to defend, and frankly, it's been an enormous waste of taxpayer money. We've seen attorneys make claims that have no kind of basis in fact or in law, and frankly, we've seen a number of attorneys, whether they are the attorneys that are bringing the cases in the state of Michigan, or whether it's the 19 attorneys general who brought and supported the case in the United States Supreme Court, we've seen each and every one of them violate their oath not to make misrepresentations to the court and not to bring frivolous and unjust cases. And each and every one of them, in my opinion, has compromised their law license, and it's going to be part of their legacy that they chose a demagogue over democracy. If we've lost our faith and our confidence in our electoral process, really, what do we have left at that point? And it's so unusual to me, and I think this was brought up earlier, is that how do you say that it's only the office at the top of the ticket where there was fraud, but that the other elections somehow were not fraudulent? These individuals, these congressional representatives, these state representatives, they're really undermining their own elections, and it makes no sense. No matter how much of a loyalist these hand-selected individuals are, the second they refuse to follow strict orders to the president, then they are summarily excused from their position. And, we know that Bill Barr is in that position right now, even though he's gone to great lengths to compromise his integrity and his credibility. All because of this particular president. How will we have faith in any of our institutions any longer if you're allowed to do this? And I think that's something we're going to have to evaluate as to whether or not the executive branch will have that kind of control anymore to fire these individuals without any cause whatsoever.
There you have it.
There's so much there to unpack.
Yes, you asked about those Republicans
who signed on to the Texas suit. Basically, they were doing it out of self-defense. Because they would lose their next primary.
But here's the question I have for you. Give us your opinion on this. These signatures that supported this baseless, shameful, conspiracy-based lawsuit that went to the United States Supreme Court, which didn't have the chance of hell of going anywhere, the fact that they put their signatures on that and supported it, do you think ultimately that'll be used as a weapon against them coming their opportunity to become to gain control of their seats to remain in office looking ahead? What do you think? Do you think it's going to hurt them? Do you think the Democrats will use that?
No, I think just the opposite. I think it's just the opposite. They're probably the ones that are in the safest Republican districts who, if they oppose the Donald, who is essentially the religious leader of the Republican rank and file now, if they opposed anything the Donald wanted, they would lose their next primary. So that's what they were looking at. They're looking at winning the next primary, which means automatically in their districts winning their seat again. So this was a purely political decision to sign on. They daren't not, because would be used against them by somebody even further to the right in their next primary.
Yeah. And
it's
we heard
crazy
that the
kid that won in Virginia.
Yeah. We heard Attorney General William Barr was going to resign next week. He's out.
On the 23rd to be with his family during Christmas.
Yep. He was an interesting story about I'm sure there'll be many discussions in many law school classes about the tenure of William Barr as the Attorney General of the United States and his relationship with the President of the United States. Even doing as much as ticking on a private matter, a lawsuit that was filed, a defamation lawsuit that was filed against the president, who William Barr said, "We'll defend you, sir. We'll defend you. We'll take that case." And you can't sue the U.S. government for defamation. Therefore, the case doesn't go anywhere. Who knows where that – when he becomes Citizen Trump, it'll be interesting to see what happens to that case. It'll be interesting. Yeah. That'll be kind of interesting. But, so Barr's out. And, he'll be at the 23rd, so it'll be less than a month that his replacements will step in and do nothing for 3 weeks, I suppose. But that's kind of interesting.
Well, I did mention before that Barr, right from the beginning of his career, beating up hippies and giving coffee to cops during protests, has been to promote the imperial presidency. And so when he had a chance to work with Trump, he was able to really flex his muscles that way. But then when Trump lost, that opportunity to turn the presidency into a monarchy was lost. He's not the first one, though. Alberto Gonzalez was another real butt kisser for G.W. Bush.
Yeah.
So.
And he worked under
you. There's a tendency there.
Yeah. Then, Jeff, a guy named the current deputy attorney general, a guy named Jeff Rosen, is going to be stepping in for Barr. And then Richard Donahue will be taking over the duties of the deputy attorney general for the remainder of the Trump presidency, which the day he leaves can't come soon enough. So in the meantime, eyes are going to be focused on Georgia. And I think it's going to be interesting. You see, I think what we'll do now is we'll turn the attention of this show to Georgia as well and have Ray Charles do it for us.
Yes, yes.
Georgia.
Thank you. time I sing this song. I sing for Georgia. Thank you. on my mind.
Absolutely
awesome.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Ray Tunes. He was the only guy that I know that owned his own masters. Am I lying or is it true?
Sorry?
Ray Charles, he owned his masters to his recordings, didn't he?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I've heard that as well. I don't know if he's the only one, but I know that's true. This just came in during that tune. Getting back to Michigan just for a minute, a Representative Paul Mitchell, who is a Republican of Michigan, announced his disgust and disappointment with President Donald Trump's efforts to overturn the results of the election. Overturn the will of the American people, right? And has led him to request that the clerk of the House in Michigan change his party affiliation to independent and notify GOP leaders that he's withdrawing his engagement and association with the Republican Party at both the national and state levels. He says, and I quote, "This party has to stand up for democracy first, for a constitution first, and not political considerations." So, so he's going independent. He's leaving the Republican Party. Hear, hear, dude. All right, Republican Representative Paul Mitchell, former Republican of the state of Michigan, now independent.
Probably seen
just
too
came
much
in.
Of Pelosi to go Democrat, though.
Yeah. So that's kind of interesting. Hey, you know, Amanda's not with us here. This is the Andy and Amanda Show. Our number here is 515-605-9888. We do have Chet in Hawaii. We do have Cornell, our show coordinator in Delaware. And, we're kind of running a makeshift program. I'm running this remotely, through our studio board, because it's not working right. So
studio board got bored.
Here we are.
Bored. I can say you made it happen. You made it happen.
You know, sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. But you know, we do incorporate music in the show, and we're glad to have some really great tunes. I had a great lineup of music today, of which we're not going to run our full show today. But I'm still going to play some tunes because that's just who we are. You know, and
that's who we are.
Makes people feel better.
Yeah, it does.
Would you rather practice or have natural talent? I said the best is both, right? But she's got a great natural talent. A great natural talent.
Thank you. Thank you.
For some reason,
I think I do too. You know what I mean?
He know how to get on the show.
Yeah.
If we have difficulty problems, that guy know how to get on the show.
You know? You bet. You bet. And, it's interesting because I was oh my gosh, I had such a fun time kind of dissecting some of the – well, let me back up. It won't make sense. Trump, when he gets out of office, is going to be subject to prosecution in a civil matter, and which might turn into a criminal matter by the Attorney General of the Southern District of the State of New York regarding taxes, regarding some fraud issues, money laundering issues. And I went to go listen – to some of his speeches where he was talking about releasing his tax returns, you know, going back to Hillary Clinton days when he was running against Clinton, you know, 4 years ago. And it's kind of interesting to hear how many times he actually, you know, went ahead and started talking about, oh, I'm going to reveal my taxes. I'm going to – this will happen. And you know, just give some time. I'm under audit, which has never really been substantiated. But let's just listen to some of this. What Trump had to say about his taxes. And we traveled. I should say this. We had to travel far and wide. We had to travel over the rainbow to get this information correctly and appropriately. So this is where we went. You'll know where. going to. You know where we've traveled to over the weekend to get all this information. Just take a listen, folks.
Will you release any of your tax returns for the public to scrutinize?
Well, we're working on that now. Very big returns, as you know, and I have everything all approved and very beautiful, and we'll be working on that over the next period of time. But we're working on it right now, and at the appropriate time, you'll be very satisfied.
Maybe able to help you grow your balls.
The next 3-4 months, we're working on it very hard, and they'll be very good.
The tax returns at the appropriate time. There's no rush. At the appropriate time.
I will absolutely give my return, but I'm being audited now for 2 or 3 years, so I can't do it until the audit is finished, obviously, and I think people would understand that.
And then his scrunched up face and tight breathing tells you he's climaxing.
Obviously, if I'm being audited, I'm not going to release a return. As soon as the audit is done, I love it.
Do you believe voters have a right to see your tax returns before they make a final decision?
I think they do, but I do say this.
Follow the yellow brick rules.
I will really gladly give them. When the audit ends, I'm going to present them. That should be before the election. I hope it's before the election.
And when the audit's complete, I'll release my returns. I don't know when that's going to be, but when the audit is complete, I'll release my returns. I have no problem with it. It doesn't matter.
Then it's all over.
I will release my tax returns against my lawyer's wishes. When
is it time to say once and for all the president is never going to release his tax returns?
Stay out of this, Glinda, or I'll fix you as well.
We'll have to get back to you on that.
Trump and the White House will not even give us a copy of the audit letter, an innocuous document. So I don't think there's any reason to believe Donald Trump is actually under audit if they won't produce audit letters.
For the record, nothing prevents individuals from sharing their own tax returns, even while under audit by the IRS. Mr. Cohen, do you know whether President Trump's tax returns were really under audit by the IRS in 2016?
Follow the yellow brick road.
To be clear, you believe Democrats will never see the president's tax returns?
Oh, no, never.
No, nor should they.
But if you didn't see the tax returns, you'd think there's almost like something wrong. What's wrong?
We represent the lollipop guild, the lollipop guild, the lollipop guild, and in the name of the lollipop guild, we wish to welcome you so much in land.
Whatever. You know what you were screaming.
Is he like leaning forward and going like, oh, you know, like.
We had to travel far and wide to get that done.
Had to travel the yellow brick road.
The lollipop.
Yeah.
Do they make lollipops?
Yeah. And here's a lollipop, yes. And
special
and asking Trump about how he went ahead and managed to pay so little in income tax. This is what we got back.
I prepaid my tax.
Why should we break our backs stupidly paying tax?
What did I pay?
Stupidly paying tax.
Because at some point they think it's an estimate. They think I may have to pay tax. So
you've got to pick a pocket or two.
Mm-mm-mm. Yes. Yeah, what we're going to do now is we're going to hear another tune, because I just want to get another tune in here before we call this kind of, shall we call it, our abbreviated version of the Coast to Coast program.
Boo.
Right? You know, is that what we have? You tell us.
You got to pick up a pocket or two.
I don't know about that, but you know, we're all...
yeah. Well, I would have put that one.
Oh, yeah, wait, wait.
He says a tax elimination will put money into people's pockets.
You got to pick a pocket or two.
Oh, yeah, onward and upward. Yeah, yeah, oh, yeah.
I prepaid my tax.
Why should we break our backs stupidly paying tax?
What did I pay?
Stupidly paying tax.
Because at some point they think it's an estimate. They think I may have to pay tax. So
you got to pick a pocket or two.
Yeah, and you know,
how much did you pay,
people see me. You know, people say, you know, Andy, you're living in, you know, you got a Tesla, you're living in Southern California, you're doing some fun things. You
and
know
you
what?
Do live
what is
very
the?
Well.
Well, thank you. I try. You know, I really don't live that well. I get by, but I pay a whole lot more in taxes than Donald Trump does. Go figure. Go figure.
I think
you know
we
what
all
the hell?
Kids.
Oh, we all do. That's not just me. Of course we all do. Oh yeah, not just me. You
and
bet.
The
you bet
kids.
We do. Yeah. And here we did some more. We had some of our field reporters over the weekend go out. I got all this information coming in from everywhere, and you know, we wanted to talk about foreign entanglement and the relations with the, you know, with foreign governments.
I want to ask you both about questions regarding your potential foreign entanglement.
Seriously, if you don't, you're missing out on a great orgasm.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That's what's happening. That's what's happening. Absolutely. What we're going to do, do you guys really want to hear some music?
Yeah. Let's hear some music.
What do you think? Want to hear, you know, we could hear some
Shut
music.
Shut up, I'm drinking gin.
You know, I'm not drinking gin, I'm drinking vodka.
What?
Get the hell out of here. You know, shut up and drink my gin. We're going to hear a very cool tune. I think I got a great idea. Ray Davies, The Kinks, right?
Yes.
Great guy. I produced a Kinks show back in the 70s and rode in limousine. We spent a lot of time together and really got to know him. We hung out quite a bit together. And first of all, was I 21 at the time or something? It was an amazing experience. But anyway, so Ray Davies. I'm going to play a couple of Ray Davies tunes back to back. It's just Double Shot Monday, even though we might move our Double Shot day to Wednesday because of our issues today. But we're going to hear a couple of tunes from Ray Davies. They are Lola, acoustic, because, you know, we kind of skew towards acoustic music here. Lola and the song Summertime, not the Gershwin Summertime, but the Kinks version of Summertime. Ray Davies of the Kinks here on Coast to Coast, the Andy and Amanda program. Here we go, folks.
I met her in a club down in Old Soho, where you drink champagne and it tastes just like a cherry cola. C-O-L-A cola. She walked up to me and she started to dance. I asked her her name and in a dark brown voice she said Lola. L-O-L-A Lola. La-la-la-la-lola. Physical guy, when she squeezed me tight, she nearly broke my spine. Oh, my Lola, 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 Lola. Well, I'm not dumb, but I can't understand why she walked like a woman but talked like a man. Oh, my Lola, 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 Lola. Well, I almost fell for my Lola. Lola, Lola, Lola. Lola, Lola, Lola. Well, I pushed her away. I walked through the door. I fell to the floor. I got down on my knees. Then I looked. And that's the way that I wanted to stay. I always wanted to be that way for my Lola. Lola, Lola, Lola. Girls will be boys and boys will be girls. It's a mixed up muddle that shook up world except my Lola. Lola, Lola, Lola.
Lola, 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 L
mother left me in my stateroom. Sell my yacht, taking everything I've got. All I've got is sunny afternoon. Save me, save me, save me from this greed. I got a big fat mama trying to break me.
Songs. Hey, I got a question for you guys. It was for Amanda, but
yeah,
she's
sure.
not with us today, so I'm going to ask you guys. You ready? Here's my question.
Yeah.
Are you
okay.
ready for it?
Yeah.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to be Dolly Parton for a day?
Never. Not my dream.
Jet?
I have, and I wondered how I could ever keep myself upright.
Well, I something I think about all the time. You know, what's it like to be Dolly Parton? You just can't seem to get that out of my mind. This country music icon shared her daily routine on an interview where she spoke about what her routine was every day. And it's pretty incredible. Like, she gets up every day at 3 in the morning, praying. And then she wastes no time to begin a whole workout. It begins, you know, with the whole morning of calisthenics and exercises and more prayer and meditations.
Yeah, because she got to keep them boobs up tight. No, I'm just joking.
Yeah. After she's done her morning prayer, that's what she does. She gets right to work on that. She's quite the businesswoman. You know, Dolly Parton's a singer, but she's quite the businesswoman. She really is.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know how she made her money, right?
Yeah.
Andy.
Well, not just on her songs, but on what's called Dolly World and on, Yeah. Yeah. But she's big in Branson, Missouri. Yeah. There we go. But that was, I just wondering if either one of you guys ever thought it might be like to be Dolly Parton.
Well, I think if I was her, I'd probably get chased by a lot of men looking at my titties.
Well, listen,
I remember
seeing her
on the Porter Wagoner show around 1964 when she was only about 17. And she was a doll. Still is.
Still is a doll. Yeah, yeah. And good. I mean, you know, she's
a nice person.
She's all right. Yeah, she's all right.
But what is she really known for, guys? Let's tell the truth. What is she really known for?
Yeah. Hey, you know, Joe Biden
great
speaking
songs.
7:30. We're going to be recording it. We're going to record Joe Biden's talk. He's going to address the country at 7:30, and we're going to record it and probably we're going to play it on a pre-recorded show tomorrow. We'll have his talk tonight in its entirety on the Andy and Amanda Show tomorrow at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We got to talk
tomorrow
with Joe Biden just a little bit
Wednesday?
Today.
Yes.
And tomorrow. It's going to run a pre-record tomorrow. And what we're going to do now is play a little bit of an interview we happened to catch with Joe Biden. It's just a little snip of an interview. He wouldn't spend much time with us, but here's what we wanted to ask him about his income and his taxes.
I only pay that little because I'm smart.
You got to think about it all, too.
Cornell.
Yes.
You made $3.5 million.
What the hell did you do with it?
Me?
And you do live very well.
You do. You know, you got to start asking about this, you know?
Andy,
yeah.
You caught on to it.
So we're going to – I can't believe this little short show we're going to do, just kind of covering some of the news items of the day because it's such a crucial day with the Electoral College meeting and all the states across the country. Those votes are now all in. They will be forwarded – they are being forwarded now to the House, where the House will – obviously open up and say, yes, it's true that that Biden won, and that'll happen on January 6th. There's really no opportunity right now for Trump to overturn the will of the American people. We'll have some fun with it now. Between now and the 20th of January, we're going to have a lot of fun with this stuff on the show. Listen in, folks. Keep listening, because I think we're the best thing on Internet radio. Anyway,
of
that's
course.
My course. We are.
Of course, it's not over until Mike Pence
on top
counts
writing.
The votes on January 6th.
Well, Mike Pence, did you hear that? Yeah.
On top writing.
Yes, you bet. It's going to be on top writing. I agree.
As Mike
counts
the votes, yeah.
We're going to hear a tune. I haven't even played this a couple of times because it was – well, this is a great, you know, popular tune. We have some time left. Actually, we're even running – more than overtime from the time I thought that we'd actually do this show. We're already almost at our normal show length. I can't believe we've been able to do this.
Oh, no.
But we did. We're going to hear another tune by the late, great, amazing singer, songwriter, popular in the 60s by the name of Janis Joplin with her tune, Bobby McGee.
Busted flat in Baton Rouge, waiting for a train, and I was feeling near as faded as my jeans. Bobby thumbed a diesel down just before it rained, and rode us all the way into New Orleans. I pulled my harpoon out of my dirty red bandana. I was playing soft while Bobby sang the blues. Windshield wipers slapping time, I was holding Bobby's hand in mine. We sang every song that Javi knew.
good was good enough for me. Good enough for me and my Bobby, I guess.
I'm back. Yeah, sorry about that.
This is the Salinas Reservoir where Bobby disappeared.
I'm back. Hey, folks, listen, that's going to wrap our show here on Monday, December 14th, the Andy and Mo show. And on behalf of – are you there? You know, we just lost our power. Power went out. We're out. I'm out of power here. I guess we're still on. But everything just went black. We lost our computer. We lost our board.
We had an earthquake this morning, too.
I lost everything. I'm no longer on the it's really something that we're still on the air, actually, because the board is down. But anyway, I was just going to say, the timing could be better because we are we're going to wrap our show here on Monday, December 14th. And I want to thank, on behalf of Amanda, who's obviously couldn't join us today, she's still feeling a little under the weather, and we still, of course, wish her all the very best and can't wait till she gets back on the air with us again from the UK. And we have Chad, of course, in Hawaii, and we have Cornell in Delaware, and we want to thank everybody for joining us today and hope you enjoyed the show. We kind of had a makeshift, I don't know how we, improvised version of the show today, but we were able to pull it off somehow.
I don't know how
you put
it off. And get
so far, so good.
What the hell is going on Monday?
Like I said, we had an earthquake in Hawaii this morning. So that kind of day.
You did?
Jeez. Yeah, we had a 4-point something or other up in the top part of the island. And it was just one big hit here. It's not like California where we don't get rollers here. We just get, bang, bang, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's scary.
It's kind of
then occasional volcanoes spewing crap in the air for a year.
Well, we get rollers and we get, like waves. I remember one time a few years ago, a single living room of the house used to stay in here, and the floor was like rolling like it does on the ocean, and then it stops, and then you get this vibration, and then it thud, and suddenly it doesn't stop, But
classic for me was 89. I was down at a friend's down in Orange County and doing some recording, and that was when the Whittier quake hit. Jeez. So everything's rolling around, da-da-da. So I went home up to the Bay Area and was there watching the, getting ready to watch the World Series, and Loma Prieta hit. I had 2 in 1 year.
Mm-mm. Jeez. That's unusual.
Welcome to Handy.
How about volcanoes? Don't you get volcanoes out there, don't you? Or still not active, not anymore.
I'm living on an active volcano.
What?
Really?
Mauna Loa is the only active volcano in the United States. And that was the one that the vent dripped some lava into the sea, took out some housing developments, made the sky gray for a year and a half, cut the coffee production for one because of the the vog. And it was pretty intense, too. You go up in town, and it was it's really hydrochloric and sulfuric acid mixed with
the
air.
And you living on that volcano, Chet? You living on it?
I'm living on it, yeah. I'm living the dream here on this active volcano.
I drink today.
Well, at least the lava flow that constitutes part of the border of my property, I think, was back in the 1700s. So I think we're fairly okay here.
Wow. What kind
There's
of...
There's one down the road about 4 miles past the stoplight, or not the stoplight, the only street lamp in the area. That was from the 1880s or something like that. So we're pretty good.
I'll say
It's a big volcano.
Man. I didn't know that. Well, I didn't know about volcanoes
over there to visit you. No, just joking.
Well, you live in a beautiful part of the country. That's for darn sure, Chuck. I don't know if any of our listeners have ever been to Hawaii, but just... Is that nice? It's very expensive. Very, very expensive to live there. Isn't it? At least Honolulu.
Indeed. Yeah, we have a monopoly shipping company and then a monopoly barge company. So our food is like just off the scale.
That's amazing.
I go to L.A. and I look at the fruit juice that I usually have to pay $7-$8 for, and it's like $2.37. I'm going, good grief.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I can't believe you live in a volcano. That's amazing.
Yeah.
You gotta live somewhere.
Well, why not on top of a volcano?
Might as well make it exciting.
I expect to see any minute out of the volcano, like Godzilla popping up. From the volcano.
That's what I'm thinking about.
That's why it's funny, Cornell. Well, that's the same thing.
I have a vivid imagination like that. It'll happen to me.
I thought the same thing. Chet talking about living on a volcano.
Like if I moved there, right, it never blew up in like 3,000 years. As soon as I moved there,
Of course, you're living on the Ring of Fire, Andy.
That's true, too. That's true. I'm right there, right on top of everything, right here outside of L.A.
Ring of Fire.
Yeah.
I stood all I can stand, and I can't stand no more.
Yes, folks, so we're going to wrap today's show again. We're going to take another attempt to wrap today's show.
I managed
to boot up everything again. You know, as promised. We have a habit of doing that here on the show. And we're going to try to scoot out of here and join you guys again live on Wednesday, and tune in tomorrow. We'll be playing a recorded broadcast of Joe Biden's speech he's about to give, or his talk, or his discussion that he's about to present at 7:30. Wait a minute. He already gave it.
He said, I won.
He gave it.
Live with it. I won. Live with it. That's what he said.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, or he said, He said something like,
I have no further use for you.
That's what he
yes.
really said.
That's what he said.
Have you ever put a man's life in your hands?
Yeah.
Oh
no.
That's ever put your life in another man's hands?
That was part of it, yeah.
Yeah.
You snotty little bastard.
Came out and said, yeah, yeah, I have.
I have done that.
So
we're going to catch everybody back here on Wednesday at 5 o'clock.
Wednesday.
Pacific time.
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock in Hawaii.
Oh,
8 o'clock in East Coast. 1 a.m. in...
1 a.m.
Whatever.
Yeah. Great.
1 a.m. Well, actually, the next day, we'll see Thursday morning at 1 a.m. in UK. And just about 10% of our listeners are in the UK. So we have a population and a following over there, and thank you, and as well as we do as 14 other countries around the world. And thank you all that tune into this show and listen to it from wherever you are. And I'm sure most of you hear it as a podcast, not as a live show. But we are live when we do the show with the actual call-in number of 515-605-9888 that anybody can call into during our broadcast hours and during the conversation. We'd love to hear from you. So with that, we're going to say adios on this Monday, December 14th program. And wish all a good day and a good night and a good afternoon. And we'll look forward to catching you on Wednesday. Aloha.
Aloha.
Take care,
Aloha.
Everybody.
Take care, everybody.